Genius, the path to perfect prayer. In defining genius, the dictionaries focus on one that appears to be born with a special skill or talent, such as a young child that at the age of 3 can play piano with unusual skill, and at age 5, they could fill an auditorium who come to see this genius child play. It's no question that the focus in the dictionaries is based on what few can do. But what else can few do and could truly be classified as a genius? One who can overcome the belief of life, truth, and intelligence in matter. One who can realize and practice that all is infinite mind and its infinite manifestation. One who strives to understand and practice that God is all in all, that spirit is immortal truth and matter is mortal error, that spirit is the real and eternal, that matter is unreal and temporal, that spirit is God and man is his image and likeness. Therefore, man is not material, he is spiritual. How many that you know believe what was just stated? How many do you know that practice it in their thought, speech, and action? How many do you know that rely solely on God for their entire well-being and not go to a third party, such as a medical doctor for their health, or an investment advisor for their investment decisions, or for taking supplements so that they can be vivacious all day long, or that rely on caffeine in coffee to keep them awake, or that rely on alcohol to let them escape from the pressures of whatever is in their life that is causing them difficulty. Relying on anyone else for anything means that their understanding is that that is where they go for their solutions. Where did Jesus go? Did he go to a doctor for help? Back in those days, I think they called them witch doctors. That ought to be a clue right off. Did he go anywhere except to God for anything? He went to God for his own life. And as a result, he was able to resurrect himself and then ascend. Who else has been able to do that that relied on a doctor or relied on some spiritualist or something or hypnotist or whatever source they relied on to be able to accomplish those things? We know that people in the Eastern culture have been able to transport themselves. But is there a system which includes a structure and procedure that anyone could follow to have success. If two different people are taught the structure and system of mathematics, they could be with different skin colors, they could live on the opposite side of planet Earth. One could have a very cultured upbringing. Another one could be brought up in poverty. But if they both know the rules of mathematics, they can make a calculation and come up with exactly the same answer, the correct answer. And that answer can be utilized in various ways, depending on their purpose in that particular calculation. They could be considered a genius. They stick to the problem and work out the answer until it is solved. Now, it may be something much more complicated than just adding two numbers or subtracting or multiplying or dividing a simple set of numbers, but it is still a principle that has been proven to be a rule that, if applied as the rule dictates, they will get the correct answer. How many people conduct their lives that you know of that are consistent day in and day out with their endeavors? We can be that way. We can have that degree of success in all of our endeavors if we study the science called Christian Science, and if we practice it with all thought, speech, and action. In a treatment that was a recording that was finished just on October 18th, that was entitled The Perfect Prayer, it was illustrated that we can get a guaranteed solution that comes automatically if we follow a specified procedure. That procedure is to understand what God is and what man is, and those definitions were provided, and to apply it to all thought, speech, and action in accordance with the system and structure that is readily available to anyone. Mary Baker Eddy, on page 146 of the textbook, Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures, states that divine metaphysics has now been reduced to a system. To a form comprehensible by and adapted to the thought of the age in which we live. This system enables the learner to demonstrate the divine principle upon which Jesus' healing was based, and the sacred rules for its present application to the cure of disease. Now, disease is anything that is not perfect, any dis-ease, anything that is not harmonious, anything that is out of balance, anything that is an obstruction to progress. It's a very broad, all-comprehensive term to describe any kind of imperfection, anything that is unlike God that appears in our life. A sin is a disease. Any kind of sickness is a disease. Death is a disease. Any kind of a relationship friction is a disease. Any chaos at all is a disease. War is a disease. Success that is a surprise is a disease. For we should expect success as natural, not as something spectacular or miraculous. Jesus did not look upon healings that he was involved in as being miracles. And yet, if you go searching on the internet for the healings that Jesus performed, they refer to them as miracles. Why do they do that? Because they do not understand how he did it. Mary Baker Eddy, yes, a very true genius, because she could stick to what she was doing until she brought it to fulfillment, regardless of the distractions. President Trump is a genius because he can stick to what he's doing and bring it to fulfillment, regardless of the distractions. The distractions include the threat of death. For he survived over 20 assassination attempts on his life. He has survived every kind of a court case against him, all being fraudulent, but they were against him. And they, if you complied with the rules, which he did, force you to go and appear before a judge and a jury. And in every case, he basically lost. But what did he do? He continued to pursue what he has been doing, and that is to work for the benefit of America, to overcome the corruption, to drain the swamp. And he had the foresight in 2021, January, to employ the military. And he gave the nuclear codes to them before January 20 or whatever the date was that he moved out of the White House, so that they are in safekeeping, and that a fake Biden administration would not have access to them. Otherwise, we would have been in nuclear war probably 3.5 years ago. He has not let any distraction deter him from doing what he was commissioned to do by God himself, which was to drain the swamp. Why? Because that's a disease. The swamp is a disease. It is not in accordance with qualities of God. It is the opposite. It is the antithesis. It is a diametric obstruction to peace on earth, and goodwill to men. Anything we do that is relying on God is a genius activity. Very few people do it. And that's what makes it qualify as a genius activity. Everyone should see the light, and hopefully that will be the case. Sometime. But the human mind, the human brain, so-called, does not like to be changed. It believes that it is true, that it is accurate, that it is smart, and that we should do exactly what the brain says we should do. It is based on a human ego which is full of mistakes. It is a lie compounded upon a lie, just as Mary Baker Eddy has stated that all human existence is. The belief in human existence is a lie compounded upon a lie. And it's been that way ever since the story of Adam and Eve took place, as stated in Genesis chapter 2. When one is born, coming out of the womb of a woman, they are normally, with rare exception, constantly educated about the limitations of life, about being a sinner, and that they can't help it. It's built into their DNA. In many cases, they are educated that they cannot change it, just accept it, that you are a sinner. And that is the natural way to be. That is the opposite of being a genius and relying on a higher value called S-P-I-R-I-T, spirit, instead of matter. Relying on immortal mind instead of a so-called mortal mind, which is what is supposed to be operating the brain. Rely upon God transmitting His ideas to us instead of a so-called brain that sends it to us through a set of nerves. Rely on God for our life instead of a so-called human heart. Rely on spiritual senses by acknowledging that the only substance is spirit, because that is the substance of God, and that that is the only real substance. Therefore, everything about us is spiritual. Our seeing, hearing, feeling, tasting, and smelling, which are the qualities of soul, are the sense that we have, but not material sense, where we say, ouch, if we cut our finger. A spiritual doesn't say, ouch, I cut my finger. A spiritual sense would say, there is no life, truth, and intelligence in matter. Man cannot be injured because man is a reflection of God, and God cannot be injured. God does not die. Man cannot die. Man's life is dependent upon his reflection of God, which is eternal life, not dependent upon lie upon lie that tells us that when we get to a certain age, the average person is going to be dead, and the longest anyone has lived is to be some other age, and so surely we're going to die then. That is all lie compounded upon lie. Mary Baker Eddy asked one of her students, what do you do if you're out there roaming around on the street and you see an accident, or you see a stray dog, or you see a cripple in a wheelchair, or whatever you see that is not a perfect reflection of harmony and balance and health and holiness and so forth? The individual did not know how to respond. And so Mary Baker Eddy asked him, are you a Christian Scientist? Because he didn't act like it. He had nothing to say. He had no response. We should have an automatic response. Anyway, his reply was that, no, Mrs. Eddy, I'm not a Christian Scientist. In other words, I am not doing what I should do. I am not doing what a Christian Scientist will do, and that is to declare that there are no accidents, if it's an accident, or there are no dogs with a lack of food or shelter or companionship to be able to share their love with me. I'm an orphan. I'm a stray dog. I have no place to go. I have no reliable source of food. I have to spend my life looking for someone that throws me something to eat. Or the one in the wheelchair. I don't know what to do. I've been given up by the medical profession. Look at me. I have no control over anything. Like a lady that I see when I go to one of the department stores once or twice a month. Have you ever thought about typing up a page of spiritual thoughts and giving it to the mother? The daughter's not able to even hold a piece of paper. She has no control over her body at all to believe. But you could type up some spiritual thoughts about what God is and what man is and how man is taken care of by God and cannot be controlled by what appears to be an uncontrollable situation. That's a whole lot better doing than just giving them money. I don't care how much money you give them. They don't have a solution to their problem. Yes, they may need money. So yes, give them money. But don't just give them money. Give them a way they can start thinking that will improve the situation. We need to live the perfect prayer. The perfect prayer is living the qualities of God. One of the most genius Christian Science practitioners of all time is Frederick L. Rawson. He says our purpose on this earth is to make other people happy. As was stated in the perfect prayer treatment that was done on Friday, October 18th, 2024, Sam Walton made other people happy. He had a customer service that would let them bring anything back anytime to provide them happiness. Other companies have duplicated his idea on that because they saw how successful it was. But unfortunately, the public became dishonest. And now they have very short limits on when you can take things back for a refund. Whereas when Sam Walton was here, you could take it back anytime. Several years later, anytime. He wanted you to be happy. He was willing to take a loss on that sale to make you happy. Like my dad told me, he was in business for 50 years. He said the best advertising in the world is a happy, satisfied customer. He says, doesn't matter what it takes, do it. He told me that before Sam Walton ever had his first store open. Dad had not heard of Sam Walton. He learned it from Christian Science. Because Christian Science teaches the golden rule. There are six tenets in Christian Science. And the sixth one includes the golden rule. It says, have that mind which was also in Christ Jesus. And do unto others as you would have others do unto you. What was that mind that was in Christ Jesus? Well, Christ Jesus gave us the two greatest commandments. When asked, he said, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. And the second is like unto it. Love thy neighbor as thyself. Very simple. He gave us one official prayer, the Lord's Prayer. Mary Baker Eddy gave us her best thoughts on the spiritual inspiration or the spiritual translation of that prayer. It's a very short prayer. I think it's 7 verses. And she said, if you thoroughly understand the Lord's Prayer, you will be able to heal instantaneously any problem that occurs. Now, that is a powerful statement. If someone did nothing other than spend devoted time every single day on getting a better understanding of the Lord's Prayer, they could not go wrong. Mary Baker Eddy stopped 3 times a day and prayed for all humanity. She stopped 12 times a day, she says, to make sure that she was only thinking good thoughts about anyone that was in her thought. And she was attacked all the time by everyone. Her board of directors couldn't wait until she passed on. They had to wait till she was 90. And then she was threatened by being put in an insane asylum if she didn't take out the provisions in the manual that said that they, being the board of directors, did not have the authority, no one had the authority except her, to continue the major departments of the church. That included practitioners, that included having teachers, lecturers. She basically severed the control of all the branch churches from the board of directors of the mother church and said they are all to be governed locally by their own population, their own members. But it was ignored. The board of directors said, well, she made a mistake. You are under our control. What we say goes. What books you read are what we approve that you read. Don't read anything else. Can you imagine? When she saw that they had made that edict, she sent out, that was put in the journal, and she sent out a special addendum because she didn't want to wait till the next publication was, you know, put out. And she said that was not the correct decision, and everyone has the ability and the right to make their own decisions on what they spend their time doing, what books they read or don't read, and no one else has the authority to dictate to you any such kind of a rule. We have it on our website. You can read it. Human nature is always corrupt. Always. Because the DNA of human nature is the DNA coming from Adam. Adam and Eve. And remember, the verse preceding the beginning of chapter 2, starting with verse 4, says, there went up a mist. With a mist, can we understand what we're really looking at? Or is it concealed? It's concealed. Evil has certain procedures that it follows all the time. And at the head of the list is deceit. It likes to be a mushroom, hidden. Grow where you can't tell what it is doing. It accuses truth of doing what itself is doing. In other words, evil things. We are living in a wonderful time where we can see how evil operates. No one else in all of history of mankind could see it as clearly as we have the opportunity of seeing it. When President Trump appointed 3 new Supreme Court judges, what did evil do with each one of them? It told lies about them. It created fabrics that didn't exist. It tried to hide them all in a fabric of lies because it did not want anything the president would appoint that would make the laws of the land or judge the laws of the land or judge something as to whether or not it was complying with the laws of the land. Because they wanted to continue, they being evil, it wanted to continue to operate in the swamp. It wanted to continue on doing the evil things that it had been doing since the beginning of time. Remember, the DNA of a politician is the same DNA we have. It all came from an evil source called Adam and Eve. But Genesis chapter 1 gives us the opposite history of ourselves. But who even realizes that there is a spiritual history of ourselves? The genius does. The one that looks for the truth, that's a real genius. Einstein said, curiosity has its own reason for existing. Never stop asking questions. Never stop questioning. That is the purpose of curiosity. It has its own reason for existing, is to remind us that we should never stop questioning. Are we seeing the truth? Are we practicing the truth? Did we really find the truth? Or are we working on a lie? Nikola Tesla kept searching for the truth about the universe. He was always searching for the truth. He came very close in many things that he said. We have it on our website. In fact, right now it's a special presentation. It'll be there for a couple of days. Then it'll be put into an archive where all you have to do is make one click and you can see the full presentation anytime in the future. Einstein was also looking for the truth. Mary Baker Eddy was looking for the truth. Christ Jesus was looking for the truth. When someone would tell a lie, Jesus would quote from the only Bible that was available, which was the Old Testament, and prove them wrong. When the devil tempted him after coming out of the desert for 40 days and 40 nights before he started his ministry, the devil tempted him with 3 different things. Each time, he didn't argue with the devil. Each time he quoted from the Bible the truth that was the opposite of the evil action that the devil was trying to get him to take. He said, jump off the mountain. Or they were at the top of the temple. I don't know how many 100 feet, but it was apparently up there a ways. He said, jump off. He says, God will save you. Jesus said, the Bible says, do not tempt the Lord thy God. It was a direct statement. It refuted what the devil said. Are we willing to do that? One of Mary Baker Eddy's students sent her a letter. She was having a problem with her vision. And in the letter that responded by Mary Baker Eddy, she says, Can you focus no matter what comes your way? In other words, she says, are you a genius? Are you one of the few that is not going to submit to the screaming mortal mind that is trying to get your attention, that you're going to have more trouble, maybe go blind or whatever the fear is? Are you one that can focus? Will you be a genius and focus? Will you rely on God instead of what the doctors tell you? They want you to go and get your eyes checked, what, every 6 months or something? So they can remind you of whatever they want to remind you of. Look at the advertisements. Almost everyone is wearing glasses. In every advertisement you see, they want to promote that wearing glasses is normal. They have children that are 4 years old wearing glasses. Are you kidding me? When I was 4 years old, I never saw anyone else wearing glasses that was my age. I didn't see a lot of other kids my age until I got to age 6, because they didn't have kindergarten. I was born 500 years ago. But when I got into first grade, I don't remember anyone wearing glasses. My parents were both Christian Scientists, because they were Christian Scientists before they met. They met at what was called a Concord Club. That's where Mary Baker Eddy had her beautiful home called Pleasant View for, I think it was 16 years, Concord, New Hampshire. And so they named this Christian Science group the Concord Club. That's where my parents met. And when they got married and decided to have children, all four of us, that's all we knew was Christian Science. I was playing with a neighbor, and he cut his, I don't know what it was, his finger or something. So he immediately went into the bathroom and to the medicine cabinet and got out something called methylate and put it on there. I said, what in the world is that? He said, oh, that keeps me from... He said, that gets rid of the germs. That's what he said. He said, that gets rid of the germs. I didn't say anything because I didn't know what he was talking about. And they're brought up to believe it. If they were brought up to believe that all they do is wash it and get the dirt off, put a Band-Aid on it, and then forget about it, put a Band-Aid on it just so it doesn't bleed on whatever else until it heals up, then that's what they would do. There's a story in the Science and Health about a little girl that fell down. And she was raised as a Christian Science child in a Christian Science family. And she just got up, went about her business. She ran over to her mother and she said, it doesn't hurt a bit, Mommy. See, that's the way we need to be thinking. If we see an accident, a stray dog, somebody in a wheelchair, whatever it is that we see that is not perfection, we need to address it from a mental perspective. Be the genius. Do what no one else is doing, or hardly anyone else is doing. As soon as Mary Baker Eddy passed on in 1910, the first thing the board of directors did, the same like the next day, is they took her picture out of her book. What does that symbolize? It symbolizes separating the discoverer and author from her own work. That's what they wanted to do. They didn't want her to have credit for anything because they hated her. They had every statue, and they were scattered around in the Northeast, many statues of her They found them all and took them down. Later, someone had built a pyramid because she brought out the importance of the big pyramid in Gaza. She was prophesied in there. Someone had built one to scale. And apparently it was just a beautiful piece of art made out of the best stone that they had in New Hampshire, which is a place known for its granite. And it was a huge thing, the largest one that had ever been transported in one piece. And what did the board of directors do? They had it blown up. They couldn't cut it. They had it blown up. And they had all the pieces gathered up, and they divided them into many, many different groups, and they buried them all in separate locations so that no one could ever put it back together again. They were fearing their own shadow. They were fearing the truth. They promoted that the fifth Sunday of every month, send your donations to the Mother Church. They violated everything they could violate in the manual of the Mother Church. They kept on appointing practitioners. They kept on appointing teachers. They kept on appointing lecturers, even though they didn't have the authority to do it. It's stated that Mary Baker Eddy was the only one that had the authority to do that, and that everything expired automatically if she wasn't available or willing to do it. And of course, if she had passed on, she was not available to do it. She purposely put those provisions in there to tell everyone that this bureaucracy has to expire and be self-destructed. Self-expiring, so that it does not continue on. She used to have the branches of the Mother Church be symbolized on the sentinel. And while she was alive, she separated the symbol so that all the branches were separate entities. And she stated in the manual that they could not use the bylaws of the Mother Church as their bylaws, but every single church had to have their own bylaws. And they were not under the government of anyone else. It was a separate church just for the members of that community and their members. But how many complied? None of them were geniuses. No, they just, like a sheep. You will not find hardly anyone that was living in Mary Baker Eddy's household, which were hand-selected people to get to be awarded the CSD degree, Doctorate of Christian Science. You won't find hardly any writings from anyone. You will find a few pages of reminiscences. That's it. They could all write volumes of books. They lived with her. She taught them how to conduct their lives as a Christian Scientist, to use Christian Science on every single phase of their life. They were required to do it when she was alive. But they yielded to the corrupt board of directors who said, don't mention her name, don't write anything about her. I can't believe people would be such traitors. But same thing happened with Jesus. He taught hundreds and hundreds of people. I think it said he had 200 disciples that he appointed one time. And how many came to his crucifixion? Half a dozen. Half a dozen people. His mother, Mary Magdalene, the one that he healed of being disreputable, a woman of the night, And John, the only disciple out of the 12 disciples that was there. So that's three, his mother, Mary Magdalene, and John. And there were two or three others. I think it said there were five or six. Out of the thousands, he taught 5,000 people on one hillside, 4,000 on another. He showed them how they could have food coming from nowhere. That's 9,000, and that did not include women and children. They didn't count women and children back in those days. They were not considered citizens. I don't know where the humanity would be if the women didn't give us children to propagate, but we wouldn't be in existence. Do we want to be a genius? All we have to do, I'll tell you how to be a genius. It is a very simple formula. But what it takes is someone that really wants to do it. And anyone that has a burning desire to do it, they will do it. If you have a burning desire to do anything, you can do it. Hopefully it's not evil. Mary Baker Eddy says, the good we do and embody gives us the only power obtainable. We gave you complete instructions on how to have a perfect prayer on Friday, October 18th, 2024. This is the 19th. Will you do it? This is telling you how to have the path to have a perfect prayer. How to be a genius. And we disagree with the typical theory on what a genius is. A genius is something that very few people are capable of doing. That's what a true genius is. You don't have to be born with it, but you have to be inspired. You have to understand the benefits. You want to build up a little faith? Read pages 600 to 700 in the Christian Science textbook. Chapter 18. It is entitled Testimonials. It is 101 pages filled with people that had nowhere else to go. And out of desperation, they decided to try Christian Science. There were 85 people total that are listed in that chapter. And no, there's not 85 healings. There's like 465, I think it is, healings from 85 people. So an average of what? 5.5 healings per individual. They may have had one thing that was encouraging them to find a solution for. And as they were studying science and health, they found that other problems were automatically solved. And they didn't even know it till after the fact, because they weren't checking. Whatever it was, whether it was a deformity on their face, they weren't looking in the mirror. Whether it was a limp, they weren't checking it. They were studying Christian Science, and these problems just disappeared because they were getting their thought into alignment with the perfect man as described in Genesis chapter 1. They were changing their thought, their consciousness, their whole concept of what God was. Their whole concept of where the real power is. The power is not in exercising your muscles in a gym. Or your endurance is not running 5 or 10 miles a day to build up your endurance. Your satisfaction isn't coming from sitting down at a big feast and filling your stomach so full that you can't hardly move when you're done and you don't feel very comfortable. Your source of supply isn't all of a sudden having an inheritance of X number of dollars. Your health is not a result of going to a doctor. By the way, do some research on what the lifespan is of a doctor. It is somewhere between, I think, 6 and 10 years less than the average person. Why? It's because their life is taking in all of the diseases of everyone that they have as patients. I used to be a member of a Rotary Club when I was in business. And one of the members was a dermatologist. Unfortunately, it was an area that had a very pleasant, warm climate, and everyone wore short sleeves. You should see what his arms looked like. I did not do a very good job of what I should have been doing when I saw him. I was probably 25 years old or something. I couldn't believe what his arms looked like. And it wasn't until later that I realized why. Because all he did in his profession, every day he was in his office, was to talk to people and look at people that had problems with their skin. He mentally absorbed that. I know an attorney. He's been working on solving a problem forever. What do you think he specialized in as an attorney? Defending medical institutions against lawsuits. So he had to study about what all these diseases were about. Boy, how would you like to have that as a profession? If I was an attorney, boy, I wouldn't touch that with a 10-foot pole. But he spent his life doing that. So he can't seem to work out of his problem. Because he has already let his thought absorb his life's profession of trying to fight lawsuits where people were suing the medical industry. It's like you want to be a great pilot, and so you spend your life studying crashes. You better study a life on how a plane flies up, not crashes down. Mary Baker Eddy says, the difference between success and failure is how you spend your moments. Remember, a moment is the smallest measurement of time. How do we spend our moments? Are we going to spend them dwelling on a DNA of Adam and Eve? I'd rather spend mine on the DNA of Christ Jesus or John or Mary Baker Eddy or Frederick L. Rawson or Wentworth Winslow or Bliss Knapp or Dr. Robert C. Putnam, who, by the way, is probably the finest expert on the Bible next to Mary Baker Eddy. I would say probably $2,000. And this was back when $2,000 would buy a lot. Probably be like $10,000 now. I spent about $2,000 on software and books to study the Bible. I wanted a systematic structure and system to learn the Bible, frontwards and backwards. Because I don't know any of those foreign languages, Hebrew, Arabic. You know, I don't know any of those original languages, Greek. And I've never had an interest in studying them. It's all Greek to me. That's what we used to say in our family when it was something we didn't understand. It's all Greek to me. Anyway, after spending all that money, I would get disgusted and I would stop studying. It'd be so dry and boring. And they'd be talking about all these names that I couldn't pronounce. Well, what Dr. Putnam has done, and he was a student of Bliss Knapp. Bliss Knapp was the young boy that Mary Baker Eddy took under her tutelage from the time he was about 5 or 6, 7, 8 years old. Because his father was Ira Knapp, and Ira Knapp was one of Mary Baker Eddy's first lecturers who traveled around the country. This is back in the 1800s, in a horse and buggy days. No motorized cars. There were some trains that went to the major cities. But, I mean, it must have been a big deal figuring out transportation. Anyway, Ira Knapp was one of the first workers. And Bliss was his son. And Ira's wife, which is Bliss's mother, had a tragic death early in her life. So, Mary Baker Eddy took Bliss under her tutelage. To make a long story short, he never did anything but practice and teach and lecture on Christian Science. That was his whole life. When he passed on, he had an estate of $400 million. And this was 75 years ago, I think, somewhere around that time frame. I think it was somewhere between 1950 and 1970. Maybe 50 years ago, 50, 75 years. $400 million. Today, that would be, you know, he'd be a billionaire. And he did not do anything regarding his investments. His study of Christian Science told him what to do. He took investment in California, and he was from the East Coast. He took investment, he made investments in California land. And then, whatever, 50 years later or whatever, it was worth $400 million. That's all he did. He didn't manage it. He didn't buy and sell or anything. He just made an investment in them and sat on it for 50 years. You see, if you study Christian Science, you will have messages come to you on what to do about everything in your life. Everything. Anyway, the Mother Church, he knew, tried to separate Mary Baker Eddy from her discovery. And so he wrote a book. And if there's anyone qualified to do it, it was him. Because, as I said, since he was a young boy, he did nothing but Christian Science. He was lecturing, he was teaching, he was doing everything. Writing. So he wrote a book about Mary Baker Eddy. And of course it told the truth. It wasn't any watered down thing like you buy today. They've got one by a woman named Gillian Gill, who's a Harvard professor. She doesn't know the first thing about Christian Science. She's not a Christian Scientist. And all she did was write a very critical book about Mary Baker Eddy, stating that it might have been okay in Mary Baker Eddy's day, but that's long past. It's outdated. Christian Science is done. It's over and done with. And they have that in the reading room as a book for everyone to buy. But do they have Bliss Knapp's book in there? No. No. Bliss Knapp's book. And the deal on his estate was that he would give the whole $400 million to the mother church, you know, the corrupt board of directors, if they would put his book in all the reading rooms. They refused to do it. So it went to a lawsuit. They tried to get the money without putting the book in there. They had to settle with Stanford University, because if they didn't comply with this, the money was going to go to Stanford. So they made a deal under the table. You know, Stanford gets 50% and the mother church gets 50%. What a crime. What a crime. What a crime. They have operated as a criminal operation since the day she passed on. Period. It's very sad. We have a statement at the bottom of our website that we are not affiliated with any church. And we're not. We're affiliated with Christian Science, which is not a church, it's a religion. We're affiliated with Mary Baker Eddy, who is the founder and discoverer, who we give full credit to. If you read their publications, you will find a distinct absence of the name Mary Baker Eddy. Every testimony used to be giving credit to her and thanking her for the discovery and for everything they've gained from reading her publications. Now she doesn't exist. They've either destroyed the buildings that she lived in. They used to be historical landmarks. But one by one, they dismantled everything that connected her with Christian Science. What does Einstein say about Mary Baker Eddy? He said, "Blessed art thou, for everything that is in this book." He became a Christian Scientist. He studied it thoroughly after his friend Dr. Underwood, who was on the Atomic Energy Commission, I think it was around World War II time, was working on making an atom bomb. And everybody on the commission passed on from radiation except for his friend Dr. Underwood. So Einstein asked him, "How is it that you lived? Everyone else is dead." He said, "I'm a student of Mary Baker Eddy. I'm a student of Christian Science. I study her writings. That's my life." Well, Einstein took a very serious interest in Christian Science. He attended the churches. He spent time in the reading rooms. He made some very wonderful statements about it. Another couple of statements he made that are very important, and these are on every page of her website up at the top, called the header. The header is on every page of the website for our website. Some websites don't have the same header at the top, but we do, because we want everyone to see this, no matter what other page they're working on or looking at or reviewing or researching. We have hundreds and hundreds of pages on our website. So anyway, he said, "Science without religion is lame. Religion without science is blind." There it is. Christian Science is the only religion that is both science and religion. The religion is Christianity, and the science is what I read to you about the system of divine metaphysics. It won't wear out any more than a 7 or a 3 will wear out in mathematics. You can be anywhere and use that 3 or 7, and it'll work the same way. You can be anywhere and The system of divine metaphysics will work the same way. It will bring healing. But keep in mind what Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Be the genius. Have a burning desire. If you don't have the burning desire, read those 101 pages in the back of the textbook. You'll see that everything was healed. Whatever the problem was, it was healed. Wentworth Winslow brought a boy back from death. Bicknell Young brought himself back from death. He resurrected himself, same as Jesus. He was drowned. We have this all on the website. Look under the Y for Young, Bicknell Young. Mary Baker Eddy had that experience of raising from the dead. I would be surprised that if Frederick L. Rawson didn't do the same thing. In fact, he and another Christian Scientist were looking out the window. A fellow by the name of Spalding. He's on our website as an author. They were looking out a window, probably discussing Christian Science. Didn't say what they were discussing. And this was back around 1910 or so, before they had much in the way of motorized vehicles, and especially motorized trucks. And there was a man with a wooden cart full of rocks that had an animal that was pulling it. And the driver felt like there was something maybe wrong with the tailgate. And he stopped it and went back to examine it. And when he was right behind the cart examining the tailgate, there was some kind of a distraction that upset the animal, and he raised up and dumped a whole load of rocks on the man. That probably caused death. It didn't say, because there wasn't any way to check it because of what I'll tell you in a moment. So Mr. Rawson, who had already done many wonderful things, including discovering how to heal back in time, in other words, go back in time and perform a healing. He did that 500 times. In fact, he said over 500 times. He wrote an encyclopedia on 1,315 different ailments, showing you how to heal each one. Mary Baker Eddy says that to heal an ailment, you have to find what the cause is, and you have to heal it from the root. So that's what he did with 1,315 different cases. Anyway, he saw this take place. He and his friend, Mr. Spalding. And Mr. Rawson, as soon as it happened, he said these few words, "There is nothing but God." As soon as he finished saying those few words, the man came blasting out from underneath the rocks like a rocket, totally unscratched. Perfect healing, instantaneous. Now, obviously, he didn't just say some words. Obviously, he understood thoroughly what those words meant. And it was only a reminder that the friend that was beside of him would know that it was effective, and that the animal and the man outside knew. He was only claiming it, just like it is stated in the Bible about some people would say, "Father, I know, but I say this so that those other ones that are around me can hear it." And that's what Mr. Rawson said, why he said it. He healed everything. So I would be surprised if he didn't raise, you know, people from the dead. He was so humble that he didn't ever hardly tell anything about any healing that he performed. And we find it from other people that were there and witnessed it. Just like here, Spalding is the one that told us about this instance. If you want to be a genius, all you have to do is want to improve your life. You have to have a burning desire to improve your life. Now, I'll tell you how to do it. Guaranteed results. Guaranteed results. You start at the beginning of science and health. The very beginning, the title pages. And then after the title pages, you'll see that there's three quotes. One says, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free." That's Christ Jesus' words, quoted by John in the Gospel of John. The next one is by Shakespeare. It says, "There's nothing either good or bad, but thinking makes it so." And the third one is by Mary Baker Eddy. It says, "Oh, thou hast heard my prayer, and I am blessed. Thou here and everywhere. That is thy high behest." So God is omnipresent. And what is the prayer? The treatment on the perfect prayer tells you all about it. It's like 100 minutes long. The perfect prayer is living the qualities of God. The Bible says we must pray without ceasing. How are you going to do that? Listen to the 100-minute audio. You'll get all the details. You want to be a genius. Anybody can be a genius. Forget the definition in the dictionary. Do what it takes to be a genius. Have a burning desire to do something. Use the intelligence of God by reflecting it. Ask yourself, is this what Christ Jesus would do? Is this what Mary Baker Eddy would do? Am I intelligent in making this decision to do this thing? And then forget about it. And the answer will come to you. Could come to you when you're sleeping. It could come to you when you're eating dinner. It could come to you whatever you do. Probably when you're not thinking about it is when the answer is going to come to you. Tesla. If he had a problem he couldn't solve, he said he would force himself to go to sleep. He said it would come. He said it would come to him in a dream. And he had control of his thoughts so that he could wake up when he wanted to wake up. If he said, "I want to sleep 1 hour," he would wake up in 1 hour. If he wanted to go to sleep, he would go to sleep. I don't claim to be Tesla. I don't walk on water. At least the last time that I noticed, my foot went to the bottom. If I was in a swimming pool or in the ocean, I'm a moment away from both of them where I live. My foot goes to the bottom. So I'm not walking on water. But if you want to know, am I a genius? Based on the definition that I've given you, I've spent a lot of years focusing, having a burning desire about learning more about God. Anybody can do it. All you have to do is realize, you have to awaken to the fact that there's no other way to do it. There is no profession that offers you perfect health all the time. Like I say, the lifespan of an MD is somewhere around 6 to 10 years less than everyone else. They can't keep themselves alive. That ought to be a good clue as to whether you go to them for help. I'm not saying don't go to them. It has to be your decision. I work out my salvation. Everyone works out their own salvation. And your salvation is not my concern. I shouldn't be thinking about your salvation. I should be thinking about my own consciousness. Now, if you come to thought, it is my obligation to go into my own thought and correct it, because you're not my business. I don't take cases, but if I did, then you would be my business, but it would be me cleaning my thought out about what problem you thought you had. And I would have to know that that can't be any different than any other problem. God isn't sick. God isn't sinful. God isn't dead. God isn't diseased. God doesn't have a problem with relationships. Any problem God doesn't have, we cannot have if we understand God clearly enough. God doesn't even know about problems. God knows not about chaos. He couldn't be the definition of divine principle if he knew about the opposite. We can't be pure in our thought about something if we are thoroughly educated on the opposite. Because all that is muddled up inside somewhere, and it'll come out and manifest itself somewhere in our life, or on our body, or in our relationship, or whatever. Because that's how it works. Our experience in life is a projection of everything in our thoughts, period. So it's a whole lot better to keep them from coming into our thought than it is to try to clean it up afterwards. Like when Sodom and Gomorrah was being destroyed. The Bible says they were instructed when they left the city. And there's an example of a particular couple leaving the city. The instruction was, don't look back. Don't look back. And the woman looked back. She turned to salt. Genesis 1 states, and the evening and the morning was the first day, and the second day, and the third day, and the fourth day. We have a recording on a treatment on what evening and morning means. I don't know, it's probably an hour and a half long. Most of them are an hour or more of our recordings or treatments. You want to find out what evening and morning is all about? Listen to it. Any subject that comes to thought that we feel is directly needed, and I don't think it would come to thought unless it was needed, like this one came to me shortly before I started recording. I didn't have any preconceived ideas what was going to come out of my mouth. But the topic was clear, that we needed to know what a genius was, because that ties in with how to have the perfect prayer. That puts us on the right path. It's very important to review the definitions of God and good on a regular basis. Like was mentioned, Mary Baker Eddy stopped a dozen times a day to make sure that her thought was in the right place on everyone. And she stopped 3 times a day to particularly pray for all humanity. We've given several recording treatments on how to pray for all humanity. We use the definitions of God and good all the time. And those first 3 quotes. Oh, let me finish what I was saying on how to have a guaranteed success. Okay, you start at the very beginning of Science and Health, where the title pages are, and you read every single page. Pay particular attention to the introductory quotes to any chapter, because that is really the theme. It's setting the stage for the entire chapter. There's 18 chapters. You read the book. It's called perusing And if you look up perusing in the dictionary, it means to study thoroughly. Thoroughly. From beginning to end. You start on the title page and you go all the way to page 700. Now, what else do you do? You should record everything you read. Number one. Number two, you should rewrite the book in your own words and record it. You read one sentence and you feel, if you feel like that's where you want to stop, or you go to the end of the paragraph or the end of the page, whatever. I mean, you need to do everything on inspiration. And if you have a burning desire to find the solution on a better health, a better life, better relationships, a better government, a better job, a better home, a better family, better friends, this is the answer. You have an easy way to get in touch with me. Send a message. There's a contact icon in the menu. Contact. Just click on the menu. It unfolds. And down at the bottom it says contact. Send a message. It is totally secure. It's encrypted. Because you're logged into our website, it's encrypted. I'm the only one that can read the message. Give me your name and number, your email address. Tell me a convenient time. Now, if you're out of the U.S. or out of Canada, because I can only call U.S. and Canada, then you need to sign up, if you're not already signed up, for Telegram. And then you can send me your Telegram contact information, and I will contact you by Telegram, which gives us free voice communication all over the world. If you have internet, you can have free voice, unless you're one of the few countries that have censored Telegram. And I only know of one that I have contact with that has censored. Oh, I'm sorry. It's not Telegram they censored, it's X. You know, Elon Musk, X.com. Because he will not yield to countries wanting him to censor. So there's one country I know of that has blocked X.com, but I don't know of any that have blocked Telegram. So anyway, we can have voice communication on Telegram. In fact, X.com does not, at this time, offer voice communication. So, sign up for Telegram if you're not a member. Send me your contact information through, not an email, but through the message system, which is secure. And I will contact you through Telegram. Tell me your country and hours. I'm available 18 hours a day, 7 days a week. So there will be a time that we can have an easy thing in our joint schedules, and I'll talk to you. You have any problem getting started? You have any problem understanding anything that's said? I will give personal attention to you as much as needed to get you started. So, what do? You have to continue doing what I said. Read it from beginning to end. And I have some more instructions here, so listen up. So, you study it thoroughly from beginning to end. Different people like different ways to do it. Some people like to read a book and have a book in their lap. Other ones only work on computers. But if you're going to work on computers, don't just figure that you can be driving to work or driving somewhere and you're going to listen to it and that's it. In fact, Richard Strain, was at the end of his rope. He went to a Christian Science practitioner. He says, I don't know what to do. He said, I'm on this big circle that's going around in circles. I'm not making any progress. I want to rely on Christian Science, but, you know, here I am. I don't know what to do. And the practitioner said, well, how much do you study? And he said, I work 18 hours a day. He said, I don't have any time to study. She said, if you're not studying 5 hours a day, you're not going to make the progress you need to make. He said, 5 hours? He said, that'd give me 1 hour to sleep. She didn't say anything. Practitioner happened to be a woman. She said nothing. She told him the truth. It was up to him to work out the salvation. It was up to him to decide how he wanted to adjust his schedule so that he could spend 5 hours a day. So after some real serious thinking about it, while he was sitting there with the practitioner, he said, I don't have any choice. I don't know what else to do. He says, I'm going to do it. By the end of that week, I think that was a Monday or Tuesday, by the end of that week, in other words, less than 7 days, he had enough changes take place in his schedule and enough progress that he had made in projects that he said, studying 5 hours a day is not a problem. Now, we got 1,440 minutes in a day. That's 2 hours and 24 minutes. So 5 hours a day is 20% of your time. If you could change your life, everything in your life, everything, by devoting 20% of your time to it, would you do it? He did it, and then he became one of the most popular people that was invited to give talks around the United States. And they would let him decide whatever topic he wanted to talk about. We have this all on our website. We have his works. We have his story about this that I just related to you. Strain, S-T-R-A-I-N. Strain. Richard Strain. So, you start at the beginning of Science and Health. You record everything you read. And then when you get done recording it, whether it's a sentence or paragraph, whenever you want to stop, then you stop and you go back and think about what does this mean to me, and you record it in your own words. Now, you got to check back and forth with the original text to make sure that you're not way out there in left field. You know, if it says you should love your enemy, you can't say I should hate my enemy. You know, you know you're off base. You know that's not going to work. So you got to make sure you can't be saying something that's opposed to what it's trying to teach you. But otherwise, say whatever comes to you as what it means to you and record it. If you have any notes, don't write them down. Well, you can write them down too, but record it. And then you play these recordings back to you when you're doing something else that doesn't take focus. Like if you're eating dinner, and I don't know whether you're married, you have a family or whatever, your local situation is going to have to determine how you do some of these things. Okay? I have total flexibility because I live by myself, but that's not the case with everyone. So you've got to adjust this to your local situation. But that's what you need to do. You need to record three things: the original text, your translation of what it means to you, and any notes of thoughts that come to you. Or you can combine that with the second recording, whatever. But you have to record the original text by itself, and then anything else that comes to you on what it means, you record that. And you do the whole textbook that way, from beginning to end. It doesn't matter how long it takes. It could take a year. It doesn't matter. But you do it. And then when you get done, guess what you do? You go back to the beginning and do it all over again for the rest of your life on planet Earth. Okay, that's the first step. The second one, there's a book on our website called Your Divinity Revealed by Helen Wright. She was the founder of the Mary Baker Eddy Institute, which is the one that is what I represent. And she has, you know, read the whole book from beginning to end, doing the same thing, recording it in your own words and with any notes. Now, in this particular case, you don't need to go back to the beginning because there are 7 of 13 chapters that are on the 7 terms for God. And you repeat those time and time again until they're memorized. You need to know those frontwards and backwards because that is what God is. And if you don't know what God is, that's the first step. You can't go anywhere in Christian Science. You can't go anywhere in mathematics if you don't know that you can multiply 3 times 7 and get 21. You can't go anywhere in Christian Science unless you know that God is incorporeal, divine, supreme, and infinite, mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. And that God is also omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent, and omniaction, which is the definition of good on page 587. And the first definition of God was 465. And the definition of God on page 587 is God is the great I am, all-knowing, all-seeing, all-acting, all-wise, all-loving and eternal, principle, mind, soul, spirit, life, truth, love, all-substance, intelligence. You need to know those 3 definitions, and you should repeat them frequently. Frequently. I basically have them in every recording that I make. Also, when you get done, you should give gratitude for what you are learning. I'm grateful for everyone in the Old Testament and New Testament that I've received inspiration from. Habakkuk, most people don't even hardly read it because it all is only, I don't know, 1 or 2 chapters and they're short. But he says one of the most important things in the entire Bible. He says, God is too pure to behold evil. He says, God is of purer eyes than to behold evil. People think storms are from God. The insurance companies in particular say this is an act of God, so you're not covered. Their policy, most of them will say, you're not covered if it's an act of God. All of these storms that are being brought on, placed around the world, are acts of God, according to insurance companies. According to the Bible, it is not an act of God. So what is it an act of? It is an act of man trying to control the population. We have a department in the government called HAARP, H-A-A-R-P. They used to only have one location, which was on the North Pole, where they've got all these electrical things set up where they can project, they can put a storm anywhere they want to. They can create a hurricane. They can create an earthquake. They've got airplanes flying around with chemicals that put the chemicals in the clouds that can give you a flood. And then they can use the electrical currents to direct the flood where they want it to be. A lot of storms, they get close to a shore and they'll go off to sea. Well, this makes sure it goes to where it wants it. Direct energy weapons, DEW. We've destroyed, we being the good guys, have destroyed 2 of their airplanes. They had 3. And instead of having one place for HAARP, they've got them all around the world now. So if you're having an earthquake in Turkey, that's probably HAARP. Okay? There is nothing that is natural about any disaster, any destruction. It is not natural. It is man-made. It's been that way for a very long time. I used to be next door neighbors to Irving P. Crick, K-R-I-C-K. We were, you know, took about 20 seconds to get over to his house. Okay? Right across the street from me. He was the expert on weather. He was the one that figured out what day that the U.S. for World War II would be having D-Day. He could make any kind of weather you wanted. And this was, you know what, 75 years ago, 80 years ago. He could make any kind of weather you wanted. And they've had 80 years to practice what he discovered. Every catastrophe in weather is man-made, period. Not only that, it's man-made by the U.S. government. Basically from the CIA, who wants to control the world. The CIA came from Nazi Germany. That was basically why they wanted to have war with Germany. They wanted to get the scientists from Nazi Germany who were the most advanced scientists. And that's exactly what they did. They started the CIA from Nazi Germany, German scientists. That was it. That's how we got started with the CIA. And the FBI is not any better. Okay? That's the bottom line. And that's what Trump is cleansing. He has arrested thousands and thousands, tens of thousands of people have been arrested in the last 8 years. He is working behind the scenes. President Trump is the commander in chief. He has been ever since the first election in which he took office in January of 2017. I already stated he gave the nuclear codes to the White Hat military. That's why we're not in nuclear war right now. We would have been in nuclear war 4 years ago or 3.5 years ago if they had the nuclear codes. That's why they raided Mar-a-Lago, his estate in Florida. They thought he had the nuclear codes there. That's why they kidnapped the commandant of the Marine Corps. They thought he had the nuclear codes. They almost killed him. Fortunately, we found where he was due to a whistleblower, and we saved his life because they were going to kill him the next day. And now he is recovered, and he's working for President Trump at his Mar-a-Lago estate. They tried to kill the present commandant of the Marine Corps, Eric Smith. They shot him and tried to give him a heart attack from the chemicals they put in his legs, but it didn't work. He survived. He's a tough cookie. These Marine Corps commandants, they're no weak people. They have determination. They know that your mind is a direct influence on your experience. And they have good discipline, especially people that have 3 and 4 stars. All of these people mentioned are geniuses. Any good, solid Christian Scientist is a genius. Because what they can do is they can control their thought. And no matter what they're faced with, they stick to the truth. They stick to God. Now let me give you the rest of the formula. So I told you about Science and Health, what to do. I told you about the book that is your Divinity Revealed. Now, if you want to become an expert on the Bible, you read the book that is 10 Bible Lessons by Dr. Robert C. Putnam. He was a chemist. That's where he got his PhD degree, why he's a doctor. And he taught Sunday school for like 30 or 35 years, and he is really a very well-organized, structured thinker because of his chemistry. And he gave us a book that's only 169 pages that tells you all you need to know about the Bible, period. Now, let me warn you, he gives all of the background on why the book is basically a summary with diagrams and that kind of thing. It's a summary. That's why it's only 169 pages. 8 chapters are on the Old Testament, one is on Christ Jesus, and one is on the second coming of the Christ. He gives you references to prepare you before you read each of the 10 chapters. And the references can include hundreds and hundreds of pages. And all of his references are from the Bible. Except I think on chapter 10, which is on the second coming, I think there's references, I haven't looked at it recently, but I think there's references on Science and Health and Mary Baker Eddy's other writings. But the other 9 chapters, I believe every single one is right directly out of the Bible. So you need to read things to prepare yourself before you read the chapter. But if you really study that 169-page book with the references, which are hundreds of more pages, you will become very well-read on the Bible. You'll be able to know everything you need to know about the Bible. Everything. So, those are the primary books. Now, Mary Baker Eddy wrote 16 other books. And she has clearly stated that if you want to really understand science and health, you need to also read the other books. Because she uses those as references to science and health. So I highly recommend reading the other 16 books. Now, they are not nearly the size of Science and Health, which is 700 pages. Some of them are 30, 40 pages. But some of them are like Miscellaneous Writings is, I believe it's probably the size of Science and Health. I think there's 300 or 400 pages in Miscellaneous Writings, and Miscellany, I think there's another 300 or 400 pages there. And they're both a part of that, of the 16 books. But other than those two, which are 300 to 400 pages apiece, most of the other books are much shorter. But you should have a reading program where you're reading to give you variety. You might decide, okay, I'm going to study 5 hours a day, for example. Or, you know, if you want to study 2 hours a day, it's up to you. Your progress is going to be based on what dedication you give to it. If you only want to be part of a genius, you know, like Jesus was only half of a sinner because he didn't have a father that was a sinner. So he only had a half of a sinner. If you want to be half of a genius, you know, whatever you want to do. It depends on what your desire is. So, but I've given you the formula, and I cannot tell you the importance of recording and playing it back and hearing it and listening to it. Now, every recording that I make is totally extemporaneous, period. Now, once in a while, I will stop to look up a reference so I can read it direct to you. But that's usually a very small part of the time. And so far in this one, I haven't stopped at all. So whatever I've given you here, it's all been extemporaneous. And that's what everyone is, except for I may stop, as I mentioned, to read directly from the text if it's a longer quote that's not memorized. If you do this, you will be amazed. I've had people that have been a Christian Scientist all their life, but they never did this. In fact, most of them have never read Science and Health from beginning to end. Never. If you don't read it from beginning to end, you cannot see the wholeness of how it all fits together. And that is critical. Critical to see the wholeness, the completeness. When you read anything out of a chapter, you should read those 3 short quotes at the beginning of the textbook. You should read the thoughts from John Morgan, because he made a comment as an introductory comment to every chapter. And it's not very long. It's like a paragraph. And you should always read the introductory quotes by Mary Baker Eddy that is at the beginning of every chapter. Sometimes there's one quote, sometimes there's three or four. You should read that before you read anything out of the chapter. Then read what you want to read out of the chapter. This is a guaranteed way to have success. If you want to have success, this will do it. This will do it. And you will be a genius because few people have the discipline. They don't have any other alternative, but they just don't have the discipline. They're a quitter. If you ever watched any of President Trump's rallies, he says, never give up, never quit, never stop. He's a true genius in many ways. Elon Musk is a true genius. They will stick to their thought until they accomplish the goal. Now, Elon Musk has not had the problems that Trump has had, because Trump is the one that made the public announcement that he was going to take the swamp apart. But now that Elon Musk has joined him in this effort, and that RFK Jr. has joined him in this effort, and Tulsi Gabbard, they're also getting it. And the vice president, J.D. Vance, they're also getting it. But Trump is the big threat, because Trump has already been in the office and he knows how to run it, because he understands that he can't do what he planned to do when he went in the first time. You know, he thought he could go in there and give an instruction and they would do it. He didn't realize that everyone was in the swamp. Only a few were not in the swamp. Everyone else was in the swamp. So he would give an order, for example, to declassify the documents on the JFK assassination that took place 60 years ago. But they wouldn't do it. He gave an order to declassify 2001, you know, 9/11, 201, 20 years ago, 23 years ago. They won't do it. So now he knows what he has to do. So he had to have his white hat military, Gitmo, go in there and arrest them and execute them. So he's gotten rid of a huge number of people that were trying to run the government, that were unelected, both of them. A few of them were elected. Most of them were unelected. And they were just trying to run the government. They have found 2,500 CEOs that were running companies that were running it against America, trying to take down America. 2,500 CEOs. One of them was Walmart. One of the top dogs over at Walmart. Yep. They had to take him out. Look at Amazon. They took Bezos out. They didn't kill him, but they required him to resign from Amazon. He resigned. You know, he still gives as much trouble as he can through the Washington Post, which he controls. But Amazon, the big company, he had to get out. And what happened to Eric, I think his last name was Schmidt. He was the CEO of Alphabet, which is the one that owns Google and YouTube and all those. Yeah, as soon as Trump went in, he made an executive order that anyone that was abusing children were subject to having their assets confiscated and a death sentence. So the head of Google is very big in all that stuff. They are abusing children, unbelievable. They're all involved in pedophilia and all this kind of stuff. Terrible, terrible, terrible. They are as corrupt as you can get. They sold their advertising that's called pay-per-click. So every time somebody clicks on your advertising, you know, you have to pay them a fee. And what did they do? They hired people over in Asia to do nothing but sit there and click on the ads. They weren't interested in the ad. They were hired to click. And the more clicks they made, because they had a way to measure them, the more they got paid. They are corrupt from beginning to end. So anyway, Trump filed a lawsuit against him 4 years ago, and the judge just made a ruling last week. just made a ruling. No, I think it was longer ago than that. But anyway, he made a ruling. And one of the options are that he may break up the company. And any of you that were around when AT&T was a monopoly and the government won an antitrust lawsuit against them, they broke up AT&T. Yep, they broke it up into a lot of different companies. The one that was handling the West Coast was broken up into a company called Pacific Bell. And Southern, they had one for the southern states like Florida and a few states down there, and it was called Southern Bell. And anyway, yeah, the government can do it. And now that Trump has taken so many of the corrupt ones out, there are some good guys that are doing it. General McMaster's, a 3-star general. He was arrested a couple of days ago because what he was doing, FEMA is a very corrupt organization. FEMA and Department of Homeland Security, DHS. Very corrupt from beginning to end. And we have all the details on our website, so I don't want to go into it now. This is already almost a 2-hour recording. But anyway, FEMA is extremely corrupt. DHS is extremely corrupt. McMaster, General McMaster, was helping them to kill the people that were trying to save America. So, you know, they took him to, he's going to go through a tribunal, and I'm sure he'll have a death sentence. Because it's, what he was doing was treason. Training people to take down America is what he was doing. You know, he got all kinds of awards because of his army career, being a 3-star general. In fact, he was one of Trump's top people when Trump was in his first term. But you can't commit treason. If we find you, you know, you're going to go to Gitmo, and that's going to be the end of your life. So that's where McMaster is now. So anyway, that's what you got to do. I told you the process, and you have to decide what it's worth to you to have a life that you never dreamed of. Everything about your life will change. Everything. There is not a corner in your life that will not be improved. But you have to do what I said. I gave you the formula. I know it works. I do it myself. And I use various tools. I don't use cell phones. I use big screens. I got several 55-inch screens I use. I have a database. I have a mind map program. I use worksheets. You know, most people call them a spreadsheet. I got good computers. It's up to you what you use. But you need to follow my directions. If you do that, you will find progress taking place that will be consistent. It'll be a foundation that you can build on. You can compound on it. It's like compounding money. You have $100 and you make 10%, then you have 110. If you make 10% of that, you have 11. If you make 10% of that, you know, it is a chart that instead of a straight line showing your assets from the beginning of time, it will curve up. That's called compounding. It's a geometric rise instead of an arithmetic straight line. And that's what you will do with your understanding of God, understanding of man, and the progress in your life. It will be a curve up. I can't say any more, other than that I'm extremely grateful for everyone that has been a part of my success and my understanding and my desire to continue my understanding. I mean, I am so humble, I feel like I know nothing. There is so much to learn. But if you are interested in being on that path of infinite progression, striving for concrete being, you will find the rewards come and come and keep coming. And they will surprise you. You won't even know that there was a way to improve something. It'll just automatically happen. There were four of us kids in our family. We all went to the same school. It was a 12-year school. We were the only ones the school had ever known of that had a 100% perfect attendance for all 12 years. Very common for especially girls to miss some days in school. Everyone had a perfect attendance. Everyone. I never missed a day in work. I was in business for myself. Traveled pretty extensively. In the military, I piloted jet airplanes. I had very fast cars that went 200 miles an hour. And this was a long time ago. Now it's easy to get one that goes 200 miles an hour. But there was only one made that would go 200 miles an hour. Well, actually two or three. But anyway, I drove cars at 200 miles an hour. I drove motorcycle at 200 miles an hour. I was always protected from accidents. I didn't do stupid things. I wasn't going 200 miles an hour when everyone else was driving 60. I was going 200 miles an hour when no one else was around, out on a four-lane divided highway in a deserted area. I never raced on a racetrack. That would be a different situation. Everybody's going 200 miles an hour now. But I've never had a problem with accidents. Because I was careful in the way I did it. I was considerate of other people. If someone was on the highway and going 60 miles an hour, I wasn't going 200 miles an hour and passing, going 140 miles an hour faster than they were. No, I never did stupid things. If I was on a highway and there was another car, I would slow down to just a little bit faster than what they were. If they were going 60, I might go 70 and then go around them. And when I was totally in the clear, then I would go up to the high speed. We have a way to be intelligent and we have a way to be stupid. We have a way to be considerate of other people, and we have a way to be inconsiderate. But if you study Christian Science, you will not want to be inconsiderate of other people. You'll want to be following the golden rule. No other way. That is the only way. In fact, Tesla said a great thing. Tesla said people are sick. You know, this is the one back in 1900. He said people are sick because they are not at peace within themselves. We have that quote on our homepage. They are not at peace with themselves. Einstein said about Christian Science, he said that Christian Science works if you study it scientifically and are consistent. There it is. That's why I said, well, you need to, everyone should listen to the recording on evening and morning. Everyone should listen to the recording on the perfect prayer. They both tie in completely with what this is about, being a genius. And everyone should be a genius. It's very simple. I gave you the formula. I don't care what the dictionary says. If you have a burning desire and you stick with it and are humble, you're a genius. Because very few people will do it. Very few. A small decimal will do it. But if they do, they will experience a life that they cannot have any other way. Period. There is no truth that is in this recording that can be diluted, blocked, deflected, interfered with, stopped, or reversed. Because the truth is always true, and there is no error that has any power to stop the truth. It is there for anyone that wants it available. If we have a desire for it, it will be unfolded to us. We will find it. It will come to us. God is all in all. All source, which includes the manifestation of all existence. There is no other power but God. Because God is omnipotent. Amen.